Well, indeed, there is room in the kingdom of God for everybody. Technically, that was not always so. Jesus sent his disciples out on the limited commission, and he says, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." However, when he gave the great commission, he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." And therefore, as the song says, we have just sung, there is room for everybody in the kingdom of God. Good to have you in the service today. I join with Doug in saying we appreciate your presence. Remember, Brian will be preaching for you tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's all come back and hear Brian deliver the word of God at that hour. Ever since I've been preaching, I have believed that baptism is indispensable with the salvation of an alien sinner. I believe the Bible teaches that. Last week, I had diagrammed Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15 and 16. We spent a great deal of time on that, which I'll not go back to it right now. But there are other people, preachers, who do not agree with me on that. They agree that a man is saved at the point of faith and that he can be baptized later if he wants to be, but it has absolutely nothing to do with his salvation. Of course, I believe that's incorrect. And therefore, that has led to many discussions about baptism and whether or not it is valid. And I remember in every discussion I have had, and I've had several, there's one question they always ask me. And even in the books I've read of other discussion, they always ask this question because they feel that it has trapped a gospel preacher, that he can't answer it, and that it proves that baptism is not necessary to salvation. But that's incorrect. That has nothing to do with it. And the question is this. They say, "Brother Hoagland, did you love God before you were baptized?" And, of course, a person has a degree of love for God. Then they go to 1 John 4. And when they go to 1 John 4 and verse 7, they quote, which was read in your hearing, "He that loveth is born of God." Therefore, if you love God before you were baptized, you were born of God, and therefore you were saved before you were baptized. Now, superficially, that may sound valid, and it may sound good to a lot of people. And it may convince some people that one doesn't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Now, there are three ways you can answer this question. The first one is, which we usually do, is turn the tables on the opponent or on the person who asked the question, and we say, "Did you love God before you believed?" They say, "Yeah." Then you were saved before you believed. Now, they don't like that because they don't. They think that you've got to believe to be saved. But if you love God before you believed, according to what they told us, according to the reading of this verse and the misapplication of it, it is a misapplication of the verse. They were saved before they believed. And then we need to go to the verses itself. And if they will, I'd like my first chart to be put on the board at this time. And I want to show you something up here about being born of God. You see that expression, born of God? That's what we're talking about, being born of God. But I want you to notice what it says here. It says here, "He that doeth righteousness is born of God. He that loveth is born of God." John 5:1, "He that believeth is born of God." So we say, is that three different births? Are we born once when we love? Are we born once when we do the will of God? And are we born again when we believe? They don't like for you to ask that question, but it answers their sophistry. The truth about the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, there is such a thing in the Bible where one thing stands for the whole. It's called synecdoche. You can look it up in a dictionary. And many times in the Bible, I want you to hear me out on this. Many times in the Bible, salvation will be attributed to one thing, but it includes all others. That's what synecdoche means. And so if you go to your Bible, you'll read where we're saved by faith. And you go to John 3:16, which is called the golden text of the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so they say, why, baptism's not mentioned there. Well, they're right. It isn't mentioned there. It doesn't have to be. Because belief stands for the whole remedial system. That's what synecdoche means. And then you can go to a number. I had one man who gave me 20 passages that said we're saved by faith. Why? He says that ought to convince anybody you don't have to be baptized. But not one of them said faith only. He gave me 20 passages. He said, answer them. Answer those scriptures. Well, the answer is very easy. Number one is none of them say faith only. And number two, faith there stands for the whole system. So I just turned around and I gave him Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you should likewise perish. And other verses on repentance that didn't mention faith. I said, now are we saved without faith? Because faith wasn't mentioned in these verses. And he had no answer. Well, what he would admit when you pressed him is that sometimes salvation is attributed to one word, the whole system. It doesn't mean we're saved by that only. Then I went to confession, that whosoever confess me, I'll confess before men. I said, are we saved by confession without these other things? Didn't mention baptism. It didn't mention belief. It didn't mention repentance. It just said confessing. And he couldn't answer it. Because he wasn't understanding that in the Bible there is synecdoche, which were where one word, listen to me, friend, you got to understand this to understand the Bible. Because people will throw verses at you. But you got to understand that sometimes one word stands for the whole system. Whether it be faith, repentance, confession. And then I gave him 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. The only thing mentioned is baptism. It says baptism saves us. Does that mean that we're saved by baptism only without faith? Not at all. It just so happens that Peter is giving baptism to cover the entire remedial system. He didn't mean we're saved by baptism only. He didn't mean we're saved by faith only. He didn't mean we're saved by repentance only. Now, isn't that simple? Now, in the field of hermeneutics, when you study your Bible, you have to understand that. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be out in left field. And that's why I had here, as you notice, I had all three of these. I had doeth righteousness, loveth, believeth God. Not three different verses. But you really have to do all three of them. But so far, I haven't technically answered the question. It's true that I put the man in the defensive and showed his inconsistencies. I did that by going to scriptures to show him he loved before he believed. And if that be true, he was saved before he believed. That put him in. And that's all right, because we're supposed to be consistent. But technically, it didn't really answer the question. Now, I'm going to really answer the question for you. And the way I'm going to answer the question for you, do you see up there that word degrees? The greatest mistake, and some gospel preachers need to know this, the greatest mistake some people make is they think certain words are static. That is, they only have one degree. You either believe or you don't believe. That's not true. And some people think you either love or you don't love. That's untrue. There are different degrees of love. Now I'm going to prove it. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse to show you when you're dealing with certain words like love and faith. What degree do you mean? Do you mean the small degree, a great degree? Now let me show you what. Let me show you the Bible. You take up here. In regard to love, Matthew 20 says heart, soul, and mind. Now this was when a lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, and he said, Master, which is the great commandment? And the Lord was pragmatic with him, and he said, "You tell me, you ought to know your study of the law." And so he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And thy the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus said, "You answered correctly. This do and you'll live." Well, what did he say? He said, there are different degrees of love. You can love God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, or you may love him and not include all these. Or else he wouldn't have mentioned them. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying there are different degrees of love. You may love a little, or you may love a lot. You can't make that word static, which means only one degree. You follow me? You better believe that's right. I'll guarantee you it's right. Now, let's notice again. Another scripture which is used is John 17:40. Jesus told Peter about a man that forgave some people of debt. And this one fellow owed him just a little bit of money, and he just forgave him. He just wiped that debt out. Then this other man owed him an astronomical amount of money, and he forgave him. He said, "Peter, which one loved him the most?" He said, "The man that was forgiven the most." He said, "That's correct." Now, if you can love a little, you can love a lot or most. What am I proving to you? I am showing you beyond any reasonable doubt, love has degrees. Sometimes husbands don't love their wife like they ought to. Sometimes wives don't love their husband like they ought to. Sometimes parents don't love their children like they ought to. And sometimes the children don't love their parents like they ought to. They might love them a little bit, but they don't love them enough to take care of them. Are you with me? You see my point? You might love a little bit, but you just don't love enough. Love has degrees. Well, but let's go. For example here, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friend. Greater love? Well, if you got greater, you got less love. So love has degrees, doesn't it? And then again, if you love me, keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. Lord, what are you talking about? Well, you've got to love me enough to keep my commandments, you see. And then one more I believe I have up here. Let's see. Lovest thou, John 12:15 and John 14:15. The same thing there. He's talking about loving more. Now, what I pointed out in all of these verses is that love has degrees. Now, let's go back to the question. Hoagland, did you love God before you were baptized? I come back and I say, what degree of love are you talking about? Now, that scares him. And he doesn't want to answer that because he's in what we call the defensive. If he says, well, love doesn't have degrees, you can whip him with the Bible. But if he says, yeah, love has degrees, then he's obligated to answer, what degree of love are you talking about? And then he's got to talk. It's a trap question in a sense, but it's one based on ignorance of what love really is. The truth about the matter is, when Jesus said, if ye love me, you'll keep my commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to love the Lord enough to keep his commandment. And if you don't love the Lord enough to keep his commandments, you don't have that degree of love which will save you. But if you have a lesser degree, you're not going to be saved of love. So it's important to say, what degree are you talking about? What degree are you talking about? Because love does have degree. It's not static. And I said that's the reason people make that mistake. Now, they make the same mistake on faith. Faith has degrees. And when someone says, Preacher Hoagland, do you believe a man is saved by faith? I say, yeah, if it's the right degree. but a little faith won't save him. Now, for example, the scriptures we have here on faith. So great a faith. This man was a centurion, and he came to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, come and heal my servant." And he said, "I'm a centurion, and I give commands, and I can tell this man, you go here and he'll go. And I tell you, you go over here and he'll go." He said, "I boss these men. I'm a centurion. I'm a captain in the Roman army, and I boss a lot of people." But he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house." He said, "You can just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus said, "I haven't seen so great a faith. No, not in Israel." Great faith? Well, if there's great faith, there's little faith. Therefore, faith does have degrees. And in any discussion, when you're discussing about whether a man's saved by faith, you have to understand this, or you're going to be out in left field. It has degrees. Now, I try to simplify my lessons. I try to make it where boys and girls can understand it. And I believe they can understand this because I have simplified it. When you start discussing love and faith, you better discuss the degree of it because that's very important. Now, notice again, "Oh, ye of little faith." That was when the apostles were out on the ship and they were about to drown. And they said, "Lord, do you care not that we perish?" And he rebuked the winds and the waves, Jesus had the power to do that. He could stop a cyclone. He could stop a tornado. He had that power. Great, great miraculous power. So he rebuked the storm and he stopped it. And then he said, "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Well, little faith, that means it has degrees. And he said they had little faith. Now, I have one more, I believe, up there. Greater faith, that's the same incident we had earlier. So this one down here, Luke 17. He said, "If you have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved." The grain of a mustard seed, smallest seed that you can see. Therefore, there can be a little faith. You can have a little faith, but it's not great faith. There was an old-time preacher, and I believe he was Barton W. Stone, if I remember right. I was reading about him way back during the days of the Restoration. He was in a railroad depot with a big pot-bellied stove, and there was a man, they were waiting on a train, and he started talking to this man, trying to convert him. I never will forget it. And he thought he just about had this man converted. He told him he had to believe and repent and confess and be baptized. And the man said, "Yeah, I see that, but I'm not quite ready yet." And Brother Stone, he just started pacing around the stove, just pacing, walking like around nervously walking. And someone said, "Brother Stone, what are you walking about?" Well, he said, "I'm trying to convert man." Well, said, "What does he lack?" Well, he says, "One thing is I haven't convinced him to be baptized." The man says, "Well, Brother Stone, all he lacks is baptism, isn't it? Doesn't he just lack baptism and then he'd be saved?" He says, "No, he lacks faith. Because if he had enough faith and the degree of faith, he'd be baptized." And he gave Mark 16:15-16. Now listen to me. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you don't have enough faith to be baptized, you don't have enough faith to be saved. As Brother Stone says, he doesn't lack baptism. He lacks faith because when he gets faith, the whole world couldn't keep him from being baptized. Did you hear that? If he has enough faith, you couldn't hog time and keep him from being baptized. But if he lacks faith, he's not going to be baptized. But Brother Stone was right. That man needed faith. He didn't need baptism. You see how simple that is? And I'll tell you, brother, that's right. Because faith has degrees. Faith has degrees. And as it said in the text here, wherever it is that the degree of faith and love that saves is the degree, look up here, that obeys the word. Mark 16:15-16. And you can mark that down in your book. The degree of love that saves is the degree that impels you to keep the commands of God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The degree of faith that saves is the degree that obeys. And that's why the good Lord said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. I had a man one time, he was quibbling. You know, you get all kind of quibbles. He said, yes, but Preacher Hoagland, it doesn't say he that is baptized not shall be condemned. It just says he that believeth not shall be condemned. He didn't say and is baptized not. I says, no, he didn't. Because Jesus knew his grammar and he knew better than that. He knew that a man that didn't believe or have that degree of belief couldn't be scripturally baptized because he wouldn't be scriptural in the first place. If you baptize a man without faith, he just goes down dry and comes out wet. It wouldn't do him a bit of good. That's why faith must precede baptism. Must precede baptism. But the reason Jesus didn't say he that is baptized not is Jesus knew that if a man didn't believe, he couldn't be scripturally baptized anyway. If I were to say to you, he that eats food and digests it shall have health. And I say, would you give me the negative of that, please? Well, you say, he that eats no food would starve to death. That's correct. But why didn't you say, and digest it not? Why didn't you throw that in there? Well, I've got enough sense, Hoagland, to know you couldn't digest food you hadn't eaten. Right. So the question itself doesn't make sense. The reason Jesus didn't say he is baptized not is because a man couldn't be scripturally baptized unless he believed. You can't digest food you haven't eaten. So grammatically, you wouldn't say, he that eats food and digests it not shall starve to death. That'd be ridiculous. People would laugh at you to make a statement like that. So that's why Jesus didn't say he that is baptized not. But that's a quibble to try to get around Bible baptism. And that old question, which I want to go back to briefly and talk about it. Did you love God before you were baptized? Yes, I had a degree of love before I was baptized. But I want to tell you, neighbor, the degree that impelled me to be baptized was that degree that told me to obey the Lord, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and baptism is a command. Now, isn't that simple? And so that's the answer to the question. Now, I showed you how you can put your opponent in the defensive. I showed you how you can show that he's even inconsistent. And that's all right. Because we should be consistent. But the real answer is in the degree. That's why I had Ronnie to fix this chart. I knew I could explain it better if it's in a chart for him. He did a good job. And you can look up there and see it. And see those points. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation, we hope you have the degree of love and the degree of faith to say, Lord, I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do your will, and I'm going to be baptized for the remission of sins, and I'm going to serve you. And that's why we're here. We're pleading with you to obey the gospel of the Lord, or to renew your allegiance to God through repentance. So if you're here in subject, we hope you'll come. Let's stand with Chris and sing our song.